preach against high living. And when you notice that you have made progress and impressed the minds of your hearers, lay on still harder. You cannot imagine how much progress can be brought about by an address of that nature when you are bent on curing your hearers and are absolutely devoted to their best interests. For when the mind is young, it may most easily be won over to desire what is honorable and upright. Truth, if she can obtain a suitable pleader, will lay strong hands upon those who can still be taught, those who have been but superficially spoiled. At any rate, when I used to hear Attalus denouncing sin, error, and the evils of life, I often felt sorry for mankind, and regarded Attalus as a noble and majestic being above our mortal heights. He called himself a king, but I thought him more than a king, because he was entitled to pass judgment on kings. And in truth, when he began to uphold poverty and to show what a useless and dangerous burden was everything that passed the measure of our need, I often desired to leave his lecture room a poor man. Whenever he castigated our pleasure-seeking lives and extolled personal purity, moderation in diet, and a mind free from unnecessary, not to speak of unlawful, pleasures, the desire came upon me to limit my food and drink. And that is why some of these habits have stayed with me, Lucilius. For I had planned my whole life with great resolves. And later, when I returned to the duties of a citizen, I did indeed keep a few of these good resolutions. That is why I have forsaken oysters and mushrooms forever, since they are not really food, but are relishes to bully the sated stomach into further eating, as is the fancy of gourmands and those who stuff themselves beyond their powers of digestion. Down with it quickly, and up with it quickly. That is why I have also throughout my life avoided perfumes, because the best scent for the person is no scent at all. That is why my stomach is unacquainted with wine. That is why, throughout my life, I have shunned the bath, and have believed that to emaciate the body and sweat it into thinness is at once unprofitable and effeminate. Other resolutions have been broken, but after all in such a way that, in cases where I ceased to practice abstinence, I have observed a limit which is indeed next door to abstinence. Perhaps it is even a little more difficult, because it is easier for the will to cut off certain things utterly than to use them with restraint. Inasmuch as I have begun to explain to you how much greater was my impulse to approach philosophy in my youth than to continue it in my old age, I shall not be ashamed to tell you what ardent zeal Pythagoras inspired in me. Sotion used to tell me why Pythagoras abstained from animal food, and why, in later times, Sextius did also. In each case, the reason was different, but it was in each case a noble reason. Sextius believed that man had enough sustenance without resorting to blood, and that a habit of cruelty is formed whenever butchery is practiced for pleasure. Moreover, he thought we should curtail the sources of our luxury. He argued that a varied diet was contrary to the laws of health and was unsuited to our constitutions. Pythagoras, on the other hand, held that all beings were interrelated and that there was a system of exchange between souls which transmigrated from one bodily shape into another. If one may believe him, no soul perishes or ceases from its functions at all, except for a tiny interval when it is being poured from one body into another. We may question at what time and after what seasons of change the soul returns to man, when it has wandered through many a dwelling place, but meantime he made men fearful of guilt and parricide, since they might be, without knowing it, attacking the soul of a parent and injuring it with knife or with teeth, if, as is possible, the related spirit be dwelling temporarily in this bit of flesh. When Sotion had set forth this doctrine, supplementing it with his own proofs, he would say, "You do not believe that souls are assigned first to one body and then to another, and that our so-called death is merely a change of abode. You do not believe that in cattle, or in wild beasts, or in creatures of the deep, the soul of him who was once a man may linger? You do not believe that